Are we waiting on mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was looking for you.
Now there's in the restroom. Welcome everybody on this beautiful evening. How many of you had pineapple tonight? You're welcome. I spent hours and hours and hours cutting those. No, I did cut the pineapple. Okay, I did do that. And I did on a few pieces. Yeah, anyway. I was just making I don't want to poison any of you, you know what I'm saying? I want to take a few minutes and brag on our ladies that work so diligently all year to pull this event off for you, that it would be a blessing to you and an encouragement to each of you. So at this time, I know some of them are actually outside doing things. if you could, Kara, could you run and get them, please? Just trying to get them all in here. While we're waiting on that, I do want to say one thing. We need to be in prayer for Faith Baptist Tabernacle over in Sacramento. You ladies are here, and I appreciate you coming. Their pastor of 34 years. Went to heaven yesterday, it's going to be a hard weekend. And as I have been praying for your church, are you kind of like all right here?
Yes.
Okay, I'll talk to you then. as I've been praying for you, actually knowing that this was coming, I've been praying that the timing of his passing and this conference is not by accident. And my heart is heavy for you, but it's excited because I believe God's going to use us in your lives. So if you would just pray for this group, and then pray really, really hard for them, because when the conference is over tomorrow, they make another stop here in town, and they bombard Steve's, and they have found Steve's ice cream. For those of you that are not familiar with Steve's Ice Cream. Steve's Ice Cream made it on the top 100 list in the entire country. So, yes. And that's right here in little old Fernley, okay? So yeah, we get Steve's Ice Cream, and yeah, it's worth every calorie. So now that all of our ladies are in here, if you were on the steering committee for this conference, what are you laughing at?
I just, you're the only one that calls.
Okay, all right. Okay, the planning team. Okay, if you're on the planning team, if you would please stand to your feet, I would appreciate it very much. Okay, now look around. they work hard. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Okay, I want everybody to look around and see these pretty faces. And if you have a question in the next day and a half, whatever, stop one of them and ask. Because you know what? Don't ask me. I know nothing. Okay, I know how to cut up pineapple. That's about it. But seriously, talk to one of these ladies. They have the answers. And again, thank you all for your hard work. They will actually start working. Okay, you can sit down. They'll actually start probably in the next couple of weeks planning next year's. So it's a process. So having said all that, my job is to pray and get this thing started. So I'm going to pray, then I'm going to go home with Sarah, my dog, or her dog, and we're gonna watch Perry Mason or something. I don't know. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to come together. Lord, we know that the ladies from Faith Baptist Tabernacle there in Sacramento their hearts are heavy, and rightfully so. But Lord, the last time I checked, you are the healer of broken hearts.
Amen.
And you have something special for each lady here right now, each one. And Lord, I just ask that you would just pour out your love, your grace, and your mercy on everyone here, and that you would show yourself strong in their lives like never before, and that every lady would leave here different than when she came. We are so thankful and grateful for your love, for your kindness, and for all that you do in our lives. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I have one more question. How many of you that are not Grace Baptist people, how many of you got to see the new, what we call the fellowship room? Isn't that nice? God sure is good to us. Amen.
Amen.
So, there you go.
Okay, ladies, we're going to start with our first song. And I did a boo-boo this year. I normally try and teach my ladies our song beforehand, and I didn't do that. So our theme song, we're going to learn all together tonight. And if you didn't notice, we don't have a piano player. And yes, I know how to play the piano, and I will be playing the piano. But for our congregational music, the Lord started this process 2 years ago, and I'm very grateful. But we have Tara with us. She is from Faith Baptist Tabernacle. And I am very grateful. We've been working on this for a while, but literally the Lord worked it out 2 years ago. We had no idea that obviously we would not have a piano player this year, but the Lord did, and she is here. And so our music for the congregational group is going to be with me and Tara. So go ahead and stand up. We're going to start with our first song. We're having a technical difficulty. The everyday. Okay. We're just gonna call it. Yep, we're good. Okay. So, are we having a? Is it?
It's not in there.
It was. Okay. So we'll finish the rest of it tomorrow, I guess. So, don't know what happened there. Dropbox apparently hates me. So, okay. So let's go ahead and have a seat. Got that going. Yay. Okay. Hi. We're really glad you're here. It feels big this year. It felt very big. I think it's the space. I think that changed how everything feels a little bit this year. But we have a lot of new people this year. So I'm going to talk through a couple things because some of you don't know what's going on and you're very confused. And some of you have come every year and you're still very confused. So I got you. I see you back there. I love you. You have a bag. We gave you a bag. And as always, for the last many years, our school teacher, who's now a school principal, promotion for him, in his very, very busy life, made these bags for us. And your cutie little keychains, he made those too. So shout out to him. And he made one of our giveaways, as per usual. And you'll get that tomorrow. So we love him. There's candy in here, because we're women. And we like candy. And I know you already found the table because the bowls are like half empty. So I don't need to tell you your husband's not here. Nobody's going to judge you. Eat the candy. Calories don't count. You know, whatever. It's okay to cry. Obviously, you know, some of us are already a little choked up. Just because life, kids, you know, whatever. It's okay. That's you. But it's also okay to sneeze because some people get weirded out when people sneeze. It's okay. That's why we give you tissues. Like, it's okay. And then there's a pen in there. I don't use it. But you can. I'm really bad. I don't take notes. I take pictures. And I run, and I do. But no, the pen is really good. So there's a pen in there. There's also a little handy booklet that I should pull out. It looks like this. Turn in your booklet. I'm doing this on purpose. Our schedule changed from last year. So I'm just going over with you so nobody asks. And if you ask, I'm going to be like, why weren't you listening to me? I have 5 kids. I'm really good at saying that. So the doors open at 8:45. The service starts at 9. We're giving you 15 extra minutes from last year. You're welcome. Actually, it's giving us 15 extra minutes. But, you know. There's Starbucks in town. They have a long line. Don't worry about it. We got you. There will be a coffee table during snack time. Or if you're like me, just we have secret energy drinks that we don't talk about, okay? It's okay. I got you. If you need one, I will bring you one. Just see me after the service. I already promised one to somebody else. We will make sure you are covered. Okay, so service is at 9. And then, yeah, that's just the biggest change. I wanted to point that out. So if you want coffee, drink it at the hotel, drink it at your house, go to Starbucks, or just wait until you get here. That's it for that part. Then there's lip balm, because we're in the desert and it's dry here. And for those of you who don't know, Ecolips makes our lip balm for us, and it's, like, the best. So I have a stash in my house that my husband secretly uses. He's like, I need another one. And then hand sanitizer, because you sneezed. So you need hand sanitizer. So at the check-in table, oh, I didn't say this. You got super fancy lotion this year, and it's from Bath & Body Works, and it's really good, and it doesn't smell. So those of you who are, like, offended by smells, this doesn't smell. I'm looking for my... Ha-ha, there it is. Okay. At registration, you got these. These are red. For those of you who are colorblind, the two that you got at registration are red. There's two of them. There's six giveaways over here. They have little cards with them. They say what they are. Don't dig through the baskets. Where are you, Faithway? I know. Our speaker, I had to call, but she didn't know. I had to teach her. It's okay. I love you, Audrey. So, it says, keep this coupon on half, keep your half. But also write your name on it just in case you don't keep it, because people do that. And put it in the bucket of what you want. You need to do that by the end of lunch tomorrow. Okay? Okay. 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 Yes, ma'am. Thank you. My kids are learning that one, too. Okay. And then if you're like me, and you already went shopping, and you spent at least $10. By the way, these are super cute. This is going in my son's room at Christmas time. They're going to be so happy. They asked for a Christmas tree last year, and I was like, I don't have another one. I have like five trees, but I don't have one for your room. So now they have a tree. And hopefully they won't break it, but I know who made it. So shout out to Kim and Cindy and Terry. I'm sure Terry had something to do with this. So, yeah. Put this over here. If you did that like me, then you got one of these. This is blue. Okay? You put your name on one, and then there's a metal bucket in the craft area, and you put the one with your name on it in there. Don't put all of it in there. Just half of it, because some of you like to just put all of it in there, and that doesn't help me, because a lot of you don't even write your name on it. That's a problem, because in the middle of the table of the raffles and up on the offering box, we have giveaways that we will also do tomorrow. So, in other words, if you didn't bring money, go get money. We have banks, we have ATMs, it's fine. Your husband approved unlimited spending. It's Christmas season. Those of you who are in my Dave Ramsey's class this summer know you weren't. It's okay to spend money. I'm just kidding. Don't listen to me. So you were also given two name tags. If you lose one, it's okay. We got you. We have more. But we want to know your name. And there's like 99 of you, and I have five kids, so I'm not going to remember all your names. So I need you to wear your name tags, please. So, all right. We have giveaways. Miss Charity is going to be bringing them in. For those of you who've been here before, you know every session. Jamie, can you help Charity, actually? Every session we give you a special gift. And last year, some of you guys went a little crazy, getting a little picky. So this year we're changing it up. We're giving you a notebook and it's got colors. There's other color options. This is mine, can't have it. Nobody's trading for it like you tried last year. They will be on the back table. At the end of every service, you can go grab your giveaway for that session. I will hold one up. I will talk about it like I'm doing right now. This time, again, it's a notebook. You can grab it at the end. And if you want to fight, take it out in the parking lot, please. Okay? All right. So can we throw that poem up, please, Ryan? So this has been an interesting theme. It's our church theme, as you can tell. for the year. So we've been learning about it a lot with Pastor on Sundays, and I'm excited to see what God has for us in Audrey's and Mrs. Lynn's lessons. But I read this poem just this week, and I wanted to share it as we're getting started. Surrender, it's called Surrender. May we run into waters unknown and valleys below, if that's where you're calling. May we stay planted in lands and riverbeds, no matter how dry, if that's what you're asking. May we live this life in complete surrender, because it was never ours to begin with. And I just pray that that's our heart as we get started this year, that we are truly living in that full surrender and giving him our lives. So Tara's going to come back up, and we are going to sing our last song. And my grace ladies should know this song. We have all the lyrics because it's our church's theme song of the year. So go ahead and stand up. You may be seated.
I get to, she does the fun announcements. I get the other announcements. Okay, I did notice she said something about the pen in your bag. We gave you those pens last year. Well, I love that pen. I don't know if you're still using that pen. I'm still using that pen. That pen has not died in a year. And because it was so good, we got it again. So that's why you got it again. So I hope you like it as much as we do. I do need to make this announcement right away. We have started a new procedure here at Grace. When my husband left, he locked the door. Okay? So you are locked in here. Not all night. Don't worry about that. But if you should need to go outside for any reason, you're not going to get back in unless you go to that door by the candy table, okay? And you rap on that door and hope that one of the ladies sitting near there will hear you rapping on that door. And then they will go meet you in the lobby and let you in, okay? But try not to go out that door, those doors until it's time to leave. So that is for security purposes. We have not had a problem, but just in this world, we are being extra careful. Okay. I hope you liked the new addition.
We did.
That one extra little unit just made all the difference. And we have worked hard all summer to have that ready for ladies' conference. Everybody kept saying, how long is it going to take? How long is it going to take? I said, ladies' conference, it will be done. And I think a few people thought I was getting a little bit overbearing, but my husband promised me that it would be done by ladies' conference, so I held him to that. So a couple of Orlando's husbands, the electrician, and ladies' conference, so they got reminded quite a bit. All right, I always say this one, and I was hoping not to have to say it this year. Because I was hoping to have signs in the bathroom. But for those who don't know, who are new, or in case you forgot, please hold it down to flush completely and then let go, and then it will, and you won't have to slow down the line of women getting in there. But with the addition of the new unit, that means we now have 6 bathrooms. And there are no male bathrooms during ladies' conference. They are all female. They all have fancy, nice, smelly soap in there and air freshener. So, you know, so they are ladies' bathrooms this weekend. Except for when the men are cooking tomorrow, they're liable to go in. So if you walk in and it looks like a man's been in there, I'm sorry. But, you know, they are finishing the cooking that we ladies have started. Another thing is, Ashley mentioned it, but I wanted to just make sure it was absolutely clear. Coffee will not be ready when you get here at 8:45. Coffee break, morning break time is at 10, I think. It's in your book. My book's down there. So the coffee will be ready, and we are going to attempt to pull the table out so the cold brew ladies can go on one side and the hot coffee ladies can go on the other side. So that will help that line move faster as well, okay? So our speaker this year didn't have to come very far. Audrey Moore has been here before. She was here for our 5th year, and this is our 9th year. And we are amazed that God has allowed us to do this for 9 years. Faith Baptist has been here every year. Kristen, you've made it every year, right? Megan, who normally plays the piano for us, her husband's an evangelist, and they had meetings scheduled, so she was not able to be here. But along that line, Megan's mother died 2 weeks ago, and then their pastor yesterday. So please be praying for Megan as well as the church. But so Tara, who goes to their church, Ashley and her had talked at lunch before and found out she played the piano, it's a guitar, so that helped Ashley, and Tara was willing to use her gifts to be a blessing to us. So that's why we have the guitar this year instead of the piano. But Audrey is our speaker this year, and I need to tell you a couple things about Audrey. We met her shortly after the church started in an amazing way to me. So the church started in July of 2009. We had our 16th anniversary this summer. And we were looking for a Christian camp to send our children to, our teens to. And the only one we knew of, and we are very careful who speaks in this pulpit. And we are very careful who we have to speak to people, because we don't want anybody led astray by wrong teaching, okay? And so Ironwood Camp in Southern California. From here, 7 hours, I think, drive. And it's in the middle of the desert. And I'm talking, you think we're desert? No, that's desert. That's cactus and dust-kicking desert, okay? So Audrey and her husband John worked at that camp. And we're thinking, we gotta drive all the way down there to take teens to camp. Lord, please, is there any other way? Well, we were only, I think it was January of 10, John, her husband John and another man from Ironwood were here presenting Ironwood to our church. And while they were here, they got the call that they were acquiring Wolf Mountain Camp, which is in Grass Valley, which is two and a half hours from here. So God allowed that to open in time for us to take our teens that first summer to be able to use Wolf Mountain instead of driving all the way to the real desert to Ironwood. So well, if you don't know, Ironwood's near Barstow. So if you know anything about Barstow, that's where Ironwood's at. So yeah, that helped. I saw some recognition there. Okay, another neat fact about Audrey. Audrey's married to John, and they are our missionaries. We support them. They are the directors of Wolf Mountain, but the fun fact that I was going to share about that is her husband John and Ashley were in high school together. And he was on staff, custodial staff at the college and worked for my husband when my husband was there on staff at the Bible College. So we go way back, but we didn't get to meet her until we were out looking at Ironwood years and years ago. So that's a little background on Audrey, and she can tell you more about her family and her three kids, two girls and a little boy. They decided to tag one on at the end. So after I sing, Audrey will come up, and I trust you. You will be blessed by Audrey. She has come and spoken for our ladies here before, Ladies Brunch, as well as spoke here 5 years ago. On our fifth year here for Ladies Conference, we had five different speakers. For those of you who may remember that, kind of everything was five that year. And so she was one of the five that year. So I think that's it.
Near us when we cannot say a word. He is faithful to his promise. By his Spirit we are heard. God is faithful. We can trust him even when our troubles rise. We can in the morning. will never cease to praise you. You are good and you are wise. You are good and you are wise.
Amen. Thank you. Well, ladies, I brought my water up and I have cough drops in my pocket because it has happened to me twice now that I have spoken for something and I completely, you know, you get that catch in your throat and you can't move on. So I'm just letting you know if that happens, don't panic because I'm a pro now, okay? I'll just pop in a cough drop and wait a minute and swallow a lot and we'll be back and good to go. But hopefully that will not happen. You can pray that it doesn't happen, but it's not going to throw me off if it does, okay? Yes, I am married to John and we work at Wolf Mountain Camps and we have been married for 16 years. So I guess we have the same anniversary as the church, which is kind of cool. I do have three fabulous children. I have Brooklyn, who is 12, Ellie, who is 11, and then JJ, who is 3. And we did not decide to tack him on. That was God. And we surrendered and we said, okay, we'll have another. And I was really excited to find out it was a boy that time. So I'm very thankful for JJ. God knew we needed him. He's brought a lot of joy into our life. A couple things about me. I love music. I've played the piano for the majority of my life. Too many years to say, but it's a lot. And then I enjoy crocheting. I saw the crocheting stuff over there. Yes. I don't do that. I don't do those like figures because I'm not. Who does those? They're beautiful. I don't have that talent. I do hats. Short. Sweet, I've done a blanket, and I thought, no, this takes too much patience. So, crocheting quick and short projects, that's my thing. I'm really task-oriented and driven, and I love a to-do list. It is like my jam. So I will probably after this write down speak and check it off, because that's what I love. And I know Mrs. Lynn has probably been checking boxes off all night, so that's just really exciting. I have worked in camp ministry for the last 18 years, in some form or fashion, plus a few summers prior to that. So I was telling somebody tonight, my first experience with California was back in 2005. So that was 20 years ago, and that was at Ironwood, which is similar desert to this. I always think of Ironwood when I drive over here, but I trust you, it's not completely the same. But that's a little bit about me, and I hope I get to know a little bit more about you as we go through this weekend. I know it's just a really short time that we have together, but I'm hoping that I can get to know some of you a little bit better. Tonight, we're going to talk about why would I surrender? And as we start, I want to give you my definition of surrender, okay? So that we're all kind of on the same page. Surrender is not a sign of weakness or resignation. We're not talking about the surrender that you would do in a war, like waving the white flag. That's not what we're talking about. It's an active choice to fully trust and yield to the will and plans of another. That's what I'm talking about with surrender. It's an active choice to fully trust and yield to the will and plans of another. And we're going to get started. Okay, so how many of you believe that people at their heart are trustworthy? Okay, that's good. I didn't see any hands. I have a story for you. When I was in college, a group of my friends, there was about 20 of us, and we decided that one Saturday we were going to have a brunch. But half of us lived in the dorms, and you know, the other half were townies or whatever. And so as we're putting together our list and our plans, we realized that there was one piece of pretty vital equipment that we did not have access to, and somebody from town would have to bring us, and that was an electric griddle, because we really wanted to make pancakes. And so of all of our friends, there was a guy named Joe, and he said, oh, I know I can source a griddle for us. And so we said, okay, Joe's on the griddle. And as we continue through that process, you know, we're sending little reminders. Okay, are you ready? Do you have your stuff? The night before, we get to we all worked together, so we were in our office, and we had asked that everything come that night, and Joe was not there, and the griddle was not there. And so I don't remember in college if we had texting, but we were trying to get in touch with him, whether that was, you know, phone calls or texting. Joe, we need the griddle for tomorrow. No worries, I'll bring it. Don't worry, I have a friend who's going to bring it now. So, of course, we're all getting nervous. Well, Saturday came, and you know what never showed up? The griddle. And somehow we pulled off the brunch without the griddle. We must have just had other good stuff as well. But you know what we walked away from that knowing about Joe? He was not trustworthy. And you better believe we didn't trust him for the rest of that year. And I didn't really interact with him much after that. He was not one of our close friends. He was just in the friend group. I bet that as I was telling that, you probably had a similar story come to mind of someone that you can go, oh yeah, that person flaked on me too. I totally know what you're talking about. Well, the bad news is all of humanity is not trustworthy. And guess who's in that? We're all in there. And you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us that we can't even trust our own hearts, right? We are not trustworthy. In Jeremiah 17:9, it tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Genesis 6:5, right at the start of the Bible, we're a little ways in. This is around the time of Noah. And God observes in Genesis 6:5, he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's terrible. You know, and that's where we could be, but for the difference that a Savior can make in our life. But that's what our heart is like, right? We are not trustworthy. So why would I surrender? Because I'm not trustworthy. The good news is that we have hope and we have help. My goal tonight is to convince you that God is trustworthy and that it is worth surrendering to him because he is trustworthy. When I think of God's trustworthiness, I can't help but think of the song, Like a River Glorious. There's a phrase in there that I just love. And it says, they who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Okay, I realize as I say that, wholly sounds like H-O-L-Y, right? Set apart for a different purpose. That's not the word that's in use here. It's the word wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And that word means complete, right? When we say we ate the whole pie, we mean we ate the complete pie. There was none left. So that's the word we're using here, holy, okay? When we say that God is wholly true, we're talking about entirely. So it says, they who trust him wholly, those who trust him entirely, completely, find him wholly true. That's not a way we talk now. So that phrase wholly true means he is completely reliable. He is completely dependable, and I would sum that up with the word trustworthy. Okay, so I'm going to make you say this with me. We've updated the wording a little. So I'll give you the phrase, and then I want you to repeat it with me. Those who trust God completely will find him completely trustworthy. I'll say it one more time. Those who trust God completely will find him completely trustworthy. Can you say it with me? Okay. Those who trust God completely will find him completely trustworthy. And I'm going to give you two examples of that tonight. We're going to spend a lot of time looking at the first example, so don't get nervous because the second example is really short. So when you see the amount of time we spend on Abraham, don't think we're spending the same amount of time on the second. If you could go to Genesis 12, if you have your Bibles with you, that's where we're going to get started. Now, I like the example of Abraham because Abraham was a man who is recorded later in Hebrews 11 in the faith chapter. He is recorded for his faith. But as we look at the life of Abraham, we see that he has a whole lot of hiccups throughout his life where he didn't quite get things right. Genesis 12. This is where we first get to see Abraham. Actually, we get to see him in chapter 11, but this is where we get more information about him. So Genesis 12, verse 1. Says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Okay, so at the age of what? 75. I will not ask how many of you are older than 75, but at the age of 75, Abram gets a command to leave the country that he has been in and to go into a land that he doesn't know. And guess what? We're not quite sure where you're going to land. And does he obey? He does obey, and he is commended for that. He takes with him Sarai, and he also takes his nephew Lot, right? Because we know, if you know the story previously, you know that Lot's dad died. And so Lot gets to go with them. God promises here to bless him and to make his name great. The main thing we want to remember from this little section is that God states that an entire nation is going to descend from Abram. But if you look at chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, we're right there. So just look back a little, and we get another piece of information that's kind of interesting. In verse 29, it says, "And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, but Sarai was barren. She had no child." So if you are 75 years old and you get told at 75 years old that a great nation is going to descend from you, and you know your wife has not had a child yet, is there maybe a big question mark in your brain? Okay, this is interesting. Like, at minimum, he's thinking, interesting. At, you know, at human level, he's probably going, this does not make sense at all. But he has at least decided to step out in faith and obey God and go to the land. In chapter 12, verse 7, we see that God promises that the land he's going to go to will be for his descendants. "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there Abram builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." So Abram is believing God in this promise. He's like, yep, I believe it. I've gone. I'm going to build an altar here and worship God. Those are good things. Good job, Abram. We're proud of you. At the end of chapter 12, which we're not going to read, but at the end of chapter 12, we see Abram's first kind of failure in trust. There's a famine that comes into the land that he is in, and instead of asking God what he should do, he goes into Egypt because he sees that Egypt has no famine. And so he makes a logical choice, and he goes into Egypt. And if you know the story, what is it he asks Sarah to do when they get there? Yeah, just tell them you're my sister. And, you know, if you dig deep, you're like, well, actually, that's true. Okay, yeah, half-sister, whatever. But that is not the prominent relationship that they have, okay? They're husband and wife. And so does this go well for them? No, it does not go well for them. Pharaoh gets upset, and he's like, get out. And so they leave. And if I remember correctly, I believe Pharaoh gives them a bunch of stuff to get rid of them. And they go, right? And so then now they return, and Abram sets up an altar, and he comes back, and he's like, okay, that was a bad decision. And he's like, we're going to do this all good again. So he comes back and he worships God. Yay, good job, Abram. Okay, and we are just going to continue to methodically walk through the life of Abram. So in Genesis 13, we see a couple things happen. This is when they return to the original spot they were at. They build another altar and worship God. And then we also know that Abram and Lot are really prosperous, and some of that came from Egypt. But what does that lead to among Abram and Lot? It's not really between Abram and Lot, it's their herdsmen, right? There's fighting. How are we going to take care of all these animals that we have? You're taking too much water. Well, you're taking too much grass. And so it comes to this head, and they decide that they need to part ways. And Abram says to Lot, hey, you look out on the land and you see what looks good and you take it. Like, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. But you have first dibs. And we know that Lot chooses the land that is toward Sodom, but he had a very logical reason for doing that. I don't want to fault the guy for his logic, because he made a smart decision. He knew he had a lot of animals to take care of, and that land was well watered. They say that it looked like the Garden of Eden. It looked like Egypt and the Nile running through it. I mean, it was very lush. So he makes a logical decision. Can I pause here and give you a freebie? If you're a mom, can I tell you, don't be like Lot. Don't make the logical decision if it's short-sighted. We know what happens to Lot and his family because he made a logical decision. He opened up a doorway to a lot of things he should not have exposed his family to. If you're a mom, can I encourage you, have the foresight to look ahead and say, if I start down this path with my child, because maybe it solves an immediate problem, but if I start down this path, can I look 20 years down the road and say, where could this end up? Am I taking my child to Sodom? Or am I protecting my child? And yeah, maybe we're going to have harder years of not as much water, and we're going to have to struggle trying to figure out how to deal with the cattle, but it's not at the expense of spiritual growth. Does that make sense? That's my freebie for tonight. So we'll keep going with the life of Abram. Then also here in chapter 13, after Abram and Lot separate, God comes back and he repeats his promise to Abram, which I think is really important because Abram doesn't know all the pieces of this puzzle yet. He's been told to go to a land. He's been told he's going to have a lot of descendants, which he still does not have. He has been told that the land will belong to his descendants. Well, if you're living in that time, you might realize Lot was kind of the natural descendant, right? So now Lot is gone. And if you look at chapter 13, verse 14, the Lord comes back to Abram and he says, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I think that God reiterated this promise to show Abram Lot wasn't the guy. Okay, keep trusting me. Because I promised you descendants, and it wasn't Lot. He's gone now. And then in Genesis 14, we see that Abram gets to go rescue Lot, the POW, and he subsequently, he takes like these people from his household, and they go defeat these warriors, right? And so the king of Sodom comes to him and says, hey, I want to give you some riches for what you did. And Abram says, I think this is a move of faith by Abram. He says, no, I'm not going to take anything from you. If the three guys that came with me want to take some stuff and like the food that we ate, we'll take that. But I'm not going to take anything from you because I don't want anybody to look and say, oh, that guy from Sodom, that king from Sodom, he made Abram rich. And so he said, that's not what we're doing. I think he's also not tying himself to Sodom. He's not making a, you know, making a, what is that called? Thank you. Yes, I was like, alliance, partnership. Yes, that's what I was looking for. He's not making an alliance or a partnership with them. He's staying separate from them. But he did rescue Lot. And then in Genesis 15, God makes a covenant with Abram. And Abram, it says here that he believes God and it is credited to him as righteousness. That's a huge deal, right? We go into the New Testament and we find out that points to belief, not works. Is enough for righteousness, right? That's a big deal. In Genesis 15:1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted to him for righteousness. So again, this is another piece of the puzzle. This is new information that Abram has not heard before. This is why he was wondering, okay, was Lot the guy? Is Eleazar the guy? He's the steward of my house. And God says, no. Here's new information for you. This is actually going to be someone that you have a part in creating, okay? This is somebody that has your DNA. They're going to come from you. And Abram goes, okay, well, I believe you. And he's old. So good for him because that takes faith. I think it's really nice of God to give him these pieces as he goes, right? Have you ever felt like that happens in your life? Where you're like, I just wish you would build the whole puzzle before you tell me about it so I can just enjoy what it looks like. And instead we see that God's like started with the edge over here. We're like, okay, I have no idea what this is, but sure, I'll obey you. I'll have faith. Sometimes that's what God calls us to. And that's what he's doing with Abram's life here. in Genesis 16, Abram now knows this will be my child. Has Sarai been mentioned yet? No. And so what is the plan that they hatch? It's a plan from Sarai. And Sarai says, hey, look, I haven't had kids. We know I'm barren, but I have a handmaid. And in the culture, this was completely acceptable. We see that it happens with Jacob and his two wives and their handmaids. They all have a bunch of kids. And so Abram says, okay, that sounds like a logical plan. Sure. And Hagar gets pregnant, and now we have Ishmael on the scene. And so this turns into kind of a messy situation, doesn't it? If we were to look at the verses, Genesis 16:2, it says, and Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I bet her heart was heavy in this. I bet her heart was heavy. And she says, I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. Okay, they say that it's been 10 years since the promise. That is a long time to wait. That is a long time to not understand God's plan, even though he has told you the result. I mean, Abram's probably thinking, I am just getting older, and so when is this baby going to get here? When we look at that information, I think we understand, right, how they got to this point. But were they trusting God completely? I don't believe so, because I think when we trust God completely, we don't do something this drastic without at least asking him about it. When we trust God completely and we're fully surrendered to him, it means I'm not going to take his plan and take it into my own hands and start making things happen. 10 years is a long time to not take something into your own hands. 10 years. I can't imagine 10 years of just wondering and the question mark. But we find out that was not the way to do it. If you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, these two verses have helped me so many times, and I love them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Abram and Sarai did not acknowledge God in this instance. And I think had they, he would have directed their paths. He would have helped them not make that decision. But when we lean on our own understanding, right, it's so dangerous. We get ourselves into so much trouble. If we are surrendered, we are not going to be leaning on our own understanding, because we know that's bad. What did we say about our heart? It's deceitful and desperately wicked. And so when I am trying in my humanity to figure out the logical answer and what God's going to do, can I just assure you, it is not going to be what we think of. That is not how God works. He loves to work in ways that all we can do is say, well, that was you, God. That was really cool. I now have a really fun story to tell. Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 are also really familiar verses. I'm going to read them here for you. For my thoughts, God's talking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. They're worlds apart. If you read the Bible, you can see when God works stuff out, I would never have thought of the way he works stuff out, right? And so there is huge value in knowing the entirety of Scripture and being familiar with the entirety of Scripture, because you see that over and over and over again. God's ways are truly higher than my ways and so much better than my ways. Back to the life of Abram. In Genesis 17, God repeats the promise again, and now he clarifies it's going to be a child of Abram and Sarai that is the promised child that is going to bring all the descendants. In verse 1, it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9. So now we're looking at 24 years, right? That it's since the original promise, I think, if my math is right. I'm a school teacher, so I'm now questioning myself, but 24, I think. When Abram was 99 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Do you think Abram's like, you keep saying that? Where is the child? You keep saying that. That would be me. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and the king shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So he's repeating that original promise. And then in verse 15, he goes to Sarai, and he says, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And we all said amen, because it's easier to say. And I will bless her and give thee a son of her also. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarai thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. I think it's very kind of God to address Abram's request and say, I'm going to take care of Ishmael too. Like, that was not the decision that should have been made, but I'm going to take care of Ishmael too. Like, he will also have a great nation come from him. God is trustworthy. Those who trust God completely will find him completely trustworthy. In Genesis 18, the Lord comes to Abram, and Sarah is in the tent. She's, you know, making food for the people that show up. One of them is a Christophany, an appearance of a deity. And they say to Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. And then they say the promise again, right? We're going to come, and Sarah's going to have a child. And Sarah hears this, and what does she do? She laughs. And, you know, whether it was audible or whether it was in her heart, she did not think that they heard her. Because when they say, why did Sarah laugh? She's like, no, I didn't laugh. I always question in my mind, did Abraham tell her, like, when God clarified that it was going to be through Sarah? Did Abraham go, I mean, this is probably a short thing that happens right after that, but did Abraham go and tell her, or is she hearing this for the first time? You know, because that seems like a response that it might be the first time she's hearing this. And she's like, what? This is crazy. But whatever, however that worked out, we know that she laughed and she was kind of shocked by this, right? But it does come true. In Genesis 19 and 20, we see that Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. I'm only mentioning this because Abraham again tells Sarah to tell people that she's his sister. And so to me, this is another little hiccup in Abraham's surrender, right? When we're fully surrendered to God and we trust him completely, I don't think we feel like we need to lie to protect ourselves. And that's what he keeps doing, those two instances. He's nervous for his life. And so he asked Sarah to just say, I'm your brother. And so to me, that's a little hiccup in his faith journey, right? But in Genesis 21, we see that Sarah becomes pregnant, and finally baby Isaac is born. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, this is verse 1, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac, which was what God said to do, good for obeying. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, I love this. Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. Right? What else can you do when a lady who is 90 has a baby? Right? That's okay, we're going to laugh about this. I just, no joke. Can I tell you, I had, when JJ came along, I was 37. I thought I was done having babies. And having a baby at 37 was way different than having a baby at 28. And it was like, how do we survive on no sleep? I don't know. So I cannot imagine being 90 years old and having a newborn. Yes, we should have prayed for Sarah if we had been alive. But I love that it brought such joy to her to just laugh. And she's like, I'm going to tell everybody this story. Who would believe it? Right? Like, this is what I'm saying. When God works it out, there's only one person you can point to. Only God can do something like that. Only God, because it goes against the laws of nature. Only God can do that. I love it. But we know that not all goes well after Isaac is born. There's conflict that arises between Hagar and Sarah, Ishmael and Isaac, and so Hagar and Ishmael are sent away. And God comes to Hagar in a very sweet way and takes care of her. And we have, I think it's El Roi, the God who sees me. That is such a sweet story. That is not what we're talking about tonight, but man, God is trustworthy, right? Those who trust him completely find him completely trustworthy. Sometimes he even shows himself trustworthy to those who don't trust him completely. In Genesis 22, this is kind of where everything comes to a head. God tests Abraham in the ultimate way that I can imagine. Not just with the threat of Isaac's life being taken, but I want you to sacrifice your son to me. And in verse 1, it says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And I think this tells us the heart of Abraham. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I think he's showing that he's trusting God. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And Isaac asks the question, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I believe Abraham is remembering the promises of God here. God said, a great nation will come from Isaac. God said, I will make my covenant with Isaac. And we've waited 100 years, I mean, not since the promise, 25 years since the promise, and Isaac is on the scene, and now we're, you know, well into Isaac's life. And does Abraham think that this is the end of Isaac? No. Abraham knows this is not the end of Isaac, because he believes God is trustworthy. And he has found God to be trustworthy over the course of the last however many years that he has been trusting God. He knows he is trustworthy. And then what happens? He's ready to go, and the angel of the Lord shows up and says, don't do it. I have provided a sacrifice. And God is pleased with Abraham. God is like, I know now you trust me completely because you were willing to offer your son Isaac to me. I don't know if God's asking you to give him something that you're still holding on to. I'll share a little bit of this tomorrow, but many of you know my daughter Ellie was diagnosed with cancer when she was a year and a half old. And can I tell you, just days leading up to that, I was struggling with my attitude, and I was singing a song that I really like, More and More Like You. And it says something like, do whatever you must do to make me more and more like you. And the thing that went through my head was, yes, I do want to be more like Christ, but please don't touch my family. And you know what? It was really gracious of God when we got that cancer diagnosis to have given me that thought a week before. Because he pointed out in my life what I was holding on to. And he walked me through one of my worst fears. And I can come out on the other side and say, God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. And don't hold back anything from him. Surrender it. Whatever he's asking, if there's something in your mind right now, I hope that through the course of the next couple days, or the next day, you will get to the point where you say, yeah, I can trust God with that. I don't need to hold on to it. I can trust God with that. Those who trust God completely find him completely trustworthy. Trusting God means, or surrender to God means that I have a willingness to obey without understanding. Abraham didn't know how it was going to happen. In Hebrews 11, there's some cool phrases that we get to see that give us a little bit more insight. I'm just going to tell you that. You don't have to turn there, but I'll give you the verses so you can look at it later. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. I love that verse. We don't get to see that that's what Abraham's thoughts were from the story in Genesis. But in Hebrews 11, it tells us Abraham believed that if he actually went through with this and killed Isaac, God was going to bring him back to life. Because the promise was to Isaac. The promise was to Abraham and to Isaac, right? And so he knew Isaac was the guy. And he trusted God completely with that. So much so that he said, yep. You can have him. Those who trust God completely find him completely trustworthy. I think that the circumstances in Abraham's life got him to that place. Ladies, if there are circumstances in your life where you haven't surrendered, don't think that you have failed. Just say, okay, what is the next thing God is asking me to surrender? Because I want to surrender. Abraham didn't get everything perfect. We saw he made some mistakes that lasted a lifetime. But he did get to the point where he trusted God completely. So we get to see somebody who got the surrender picture. They trusted God completely. They got to surrender. But what's the danger of knowing God is trustworthy but choosing not to surrender? And this is the second guy we're going to look at, okay? And we're going to move really quickly through him. Jonah. I think, is a good example of this. So if you want to turn to Jonah 2, we will get there in just a moment, but we're going to just quickly give our little recap of his life. I think most of you are probably familiar with it. But Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and call them to repent. When you think of the Ninevites, were they happy people? No. I would probably liken it to the, you know, maybe we think of ISIS, right? They were awful. And tormentors and terrible people. They killed for fun and they got real good joy out of it. So this is who Jonah is called to go to. Jonah does not go. He goes in the opposite direction. He gets on a ship, headed the opposite way, and a storm comes and Jonah's like, this is my fault, guys. Just throw me overboard. So overboard he goes after he, you know, really convinces them. Overboard he goes and a great big fish comes and swallows Jonah. Jonah spends 3 days in the fish. And Jonah prays a prayer to God, and it sounds an awful lot like repentance. And in verses 6 through 9 of Jonah 2, it says, yet hast thou, God, brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so God tells the fish, go vomit Jonah up on the land, and he does. God gives him the command again, and this time he goes. And he goes to Nineveh, and he walks through Nineveh, and this is what he says. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Do you think, like, did he, obviously we don't know how he said it, but just that wording, does it sound like he's passionate?
No.
That's what he says to them. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And have you heard of Jonathan Edwards, the preacher who preached so monotone, sinners in the hands of an angry God, and yet God used that? I feel like that's Jonah, right? Except Jonathan Edwards was, you know, surrendered and wanting to do right. I don't think Jonah's wanting to do right. But God uses whatever lame words he puts out, and he calls those people to repentance. And the king is repenting, and the whole city is repenting, and they're, you know, we need to get right with God. And what does Jonah do? Yay, praise the Lord, souls for him. You dirty, rotten. Like, he gets angry. And he comes and he complains to God. In Jonah 4:2, he says, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. This is why I didn't go in the first place, God. Because I knew that you're gracious. And I knew that you're merciful. And I knew that you're slow to anger and you're really kind. And you were going to change your mind. If they repented, you were going to let them live. I knew your character. That's why I didn't want to go. Yeah. Like, but have you been there? The events of the last week, we have seen so much evil. And would your response be, God, just take them out. Just kill them all. I'm so tired of wickedness. Or is your response, God, please get a hold of the hearts of our nation. Please heal our land. Please help people repent and turn to you. I get it, ladies. I get that the anger of wickedness is real. There is righteous anger, and that is appropriate. But we have to remember, God delights to save souls. And so when we see evil in our world, let's not be like Jonah. Let's say, yeah, I hope that my heart is like the heart of God, who is so long-suffering and who is ready to forgive when repentance comes. We have benefited from that. We have benefited. If you are a child of God, you have benefited from his mercy. Earlier we read Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, which tells us that our ways are not God's ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. If you actually go back to verse 6 in Isaiah 55, you'll see the context of this passage. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He goes on to talk about the benefit of his word and what it does in a life. But in that context, yeah, his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Why would I not want to surrender to him? He has so much compassion and mercy, and he is so long-suffering. As a parent, I wish I had the long-suffering of God, but I struggle, you know? And man, why would we not surrender to him? What could happen if every single one of us in this room trusted God completely? We would find him completely trustworthy. We would. But I think we could change a whole lot of people's lives. I think we could impact a whole lot of people. I'm going to end with this. Jeremiah 17, 7-8 tells us the benefit of being surrendered, the benefit of trusting God. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. When we trust God, when we surrender to God, we can have green leaves and fruit when there's a drought going, because our circumstances aren't taking away our water source. we're trusting God completely. Ladies, I don't know if God has put something on your mind or your heart tonight, but can I just tell you, God is trustworthy. Why would I surrender? Because I'm not trustworthy, but God is. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that we get to see in your word that you are trustworthy. I pray that you would give us the desire to surrender to you. If there is something that you are putting on our heart, Lord, I pray that you would help us not to just shove it aside, but to really surrender it to you and surrender it because we believe you are trustworthy. We know that when we believe you, that brings you joy. And so I pray that you would help us to believe the many promises that you have given us, but to believe that we can trust you completely and that you know what is best for us and you plan what is best for us. Even if it's painful, you know what will bring us to be more like your son. I thank you that you love us, Lord. I pray that you would help us to have good fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.